Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I want to welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast today. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. This program is sponsored by the church at Mount Lebanon. We appreciate their ongoing support and burden for the radio ministry. I would like to take a moment before we get started to invite you to come and be with us at Mount Lebanon. If you are visiting in the area, if you are looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us. We are located just off of Highway 105 South on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, and that's just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We have Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m., and then at 11 a.m. we have our Sunday morning worship service. Wednesday night at 7, I've just begun a study out of the book of James, and I believe it'll be very interesting, and I believe it'll be a help and a blessing to the church. If you're looking for a good Bible study, Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we'd love for you to come and be with us. We also have a college ministry. It's called Collegians for Christ. It takes place every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. at 736 West King Street. That is just across from the Boone Fire Department, and you can learn more about that at cfcboone.com. Brother Kyle and Sister Amanda Austin, they're the young couple that heads that up, and it's a good ministry, and that's also available. So we have a lot going on. We have a Bible Institute, a satellite Bible Institute. This is a satellite school. It's actually Victory Baptist Church Bible Institute. I'm a teacher there. But we have a satellite school at Mount Lebanon, and we have, Noah will have to help me out here. Noah, you're a student over there. How many do we have going to Mount Lebanon?
Right now, there are about 10 or 15. I don't know the exact number.
Right around in there.
Right around there.
Pretty good number. I think you have more there than we actually have in the school at Rome Mountain, or maybe about the same. But this coming Thursday night is your last night. You're a week
this
behind
semester.
Us.
Yes. Yeah.
And so Noah's a student there. He's this will be, you'll be halfway through. Is that right?
That's right.
How do you like it?
I've enjoyed it so far.
What have you learned that you didn't, maybe wasn't expecting to learn? Or you think about Bible Institute, is it super hard? Not too bad?
It's not too hard. There's a lot of reading, but that's all right.
I think that's a major thing for everybody, is there's a lot of reading.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are interested, or maybe you know a young pastor or Sunday school teacher, deacon, there's ladies that come. There's several ladies that are enrolled. I think this semester I have, it's over 70 students, because you have those that go to Rome Mountain that are right there in the class, and you have all the satellite schools. There's three or four satellite schools. There's one in Hickory. There's one down towards Morganton or Burnsville, that direction. Then we have one here at Mount Lebanon. You have a satellite. You have internet students. You have correspondence students. So we have some in Kansas. We have some in Georgia. We have some that are missionaries overseas. And so it's just a wonderful way. And the great thing about it is you can jump in at any time, any semester, and it's a three-year program. And when you come around to the 3 years, you'll be done. So I wanted to let you know about that. If you want more information, you can call, or not call, but go to the website, vbcministries.org. Spring semester will begin January 10th. For those that attend the campus, and then 1 week later on the 17th for all others. All right, we talked about that enough. Noah, you want to welcome our listeners? I about forgot about that today. But
yes, we do want to welcome our listeners, those who listen in on AM 1450 WATA here in Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, in Watertown, South Dakota.
All right. We do appreciate our listeners. I'm going to get right into the broadcast today. The subject, I want to begin in Luke chapter number 2. Last week we talked about prayer in the public place, and this week we're going to begin in Luke chapter number 2. Here we go in the month of December, and before you know it, Christmas is going to be here and gone. When I was a kid, Christmas just took forever to get here, and now the whole year just flies by. And I think that has something to do with getting older. I'm sure that it does, but it seems like time just gets gone so quickly. And so this will be along the lines. Luke chapter number 2, I'm going to begin in verse number 1 down through verse number 7. And it says in the Bible, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." And it says, verse 5, "to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And what I want to talk about today, I want to take this passage of Scripture and deal with it just a little bit. And I want to talk about the subject, taxes are being raised, and Jesus is coming soon. And that's what is happening here in Luke chapter number 2. Taxes are being raised, and Jesus is coming soon. Of course, we're talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the overwhelming, if you really study this out and think about, now we have a perception, I guess you might say, about how it was when Jesus was born. And we think about, you know, the angels, the shepherds, and all of the commotion there in the manger. But actually, if we study this passage of Scripture and also the what's before and what's after, there was actually a very small number of people that were actually affected by the birth of Christ. This was not known throughout all the region at that time, the birth of Christ. It was a very private matter, actually. I mean, the shepherds came. We read about that in the Bible, but it's not something that the whole city, the whole area knew really anything about. When Christ was born, it was not the birth of Christ that would have been the great news talk of the day. It would have actually been this matter of the taxes that we read about here in Luke chapter number 4. I know you didn't have time to count it there in these verses, but in these first 5 verses, taxes are mentioned 4 different times. That's the subject, that's the setting, the content, the surrounding of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the raising of taxes. And then when you get down to verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, then you have she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. But the news talk of the day, you know, I could just imagine if they would have had newspapers, if they would have had talk shows. I know they didn't have all those things, but you know, we're surrounded by multimedia outlets in this day and time in which we live. You can get news off the internet, news off the radio, news off the TV, newspapers. We're surrounded by news. And if they'd had any type of news in the days of Jesus' birth, they would have been talking about this taxing. It was a world tax. This is something that is interesting to me. In verse number 1, it said, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And of course, that's talking about his empire, his world empire throughout the whole empire, which basically at that time took in most of the known world. There was this world tax, this decree by Caesar Augustus. And that's what people were talking about. That was what the news was about. People would have been talking about, well, what do you think about this new tax? Or, well, one side would say, well, I don't like it. And the other side would say, well, something has got to be done. You know, some things never change. One thing I am thankful for is, in Mary and Joseph's day, they had to travel to the town of their lineage to pay their taxes. At least we can put them in the mail, or you can take it by the courthouse, or you can even do these things now over the internet, e-tax or whatever. And so in one aspect, it's easier to pay your taxes now than it was then. But Mary and Joseph had to travel, the Bible tells us here, out of Galilee all the way to the city of Bethlehem in order to pay their taxes. I've always heard that when Jesus came the first time, there was world taxes and the killing of children. And when Jesus comes the second time, there's going to be world taxes and the killing of children. Now, the reason that I've heard that, the reason I've heard preachers say that, the reason they say that is because of what we see right here in the Bible. We had the world tax, the verse number one, that all the world should be taxed. Verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. That's what they're referring to when it talks about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was this raising of taxes. But also there was the matter of the children that has been mentioned. You have to go to Matthew chapter number 2. I'm not going to go over there and spend a lot of time, but you see the matter of the wise men. And I'll just sort of go over the story. I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit about what happened. Now, most Christmas plays get it all wrong. The wise men did not come to the manger. They did not come to the stable. They went to the house where Jesus was as a child. And so they came seeking the Messiah. And the wise men come in Matthew chapter number 2. They come looking for Jesus. Well, these wise men, the Bible does not say there were three wise men, but there were three gifts which the wise men brought. And they came first. They stopped off at the house of Herod. Herod being the leader, the one in charge. And these men were important men as well, to just feel like they could call on Herod. Well, that's what they did. They came to see Herod first, and they came and they asked him if he knew anything about this king that should be born. Well, of course, Herod didn't even know anything about the birth of Christ, where he was, who he was, or anything like that. These wise men, they were following the star, which was prophesied way back in the Old Testament. They had a copy of the scriptures, and they were following the star, which would lead them to the Messiah, the deliverer. And so you'd think Herod would know something about it. Well, even Herod didn't know, but Herod was interested in this birth of a king. Of course, the way to put down your political opponents in that day was not to run against them in an election, but it was just to kill them. And there's a lot of that has gone on down through the years. And so Herod let the wise men know, if they did find Jesus, to come back and let him know. Well, they found Jesus. He was a small child. He was in the house, is what the Bible says. But instead of going back and reporting to Herod, they went home another way. And Matthew chapter 2 in verse number 16, the Bible says about that. And I'm reading now from the Bible. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under. And that's why you'll hear some say that Jesus was about or around 2 years old by the time the wise men came. He wasn't a baby. He would have been more along the lines of a toddler by that time. But Herod sent and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And so we have, at the time of the birth of Christ, we have the slaying of the children and the raising of the taxes. And now, in America and the world also, we have the same thing. We have abortion by the millions and millions and millions. And no matter what you think about that or what you call that, that is still the taking of a life. It is the stopping of a heartbeat. Do you know you can be perfectly healthy? You can be growing. You can be have a heartbeat. You can have all these traits and characteristics of any other person and be perfectly healthy and be put to death in America. It's called abortion. That's what that is. It is the slaying of children. And now we have also this much talk about the raising of taxes. Every day, all that you've heard in the news, if you're somebody that keeps up with the news, we have heard this talk of raising of the taxes. In fact, this morning, just to do an experiment, I walked through the house and my wife was watching something, and I said, turn that over to the news channel real quick. I said, I guarantee they're talking about taxes. And sure enough, she just changed the channel. It was just something on a whim. I knew that's what I was going to be talking about today. And sure enough, they were talking about the going off the fiscal cliff. I don't know. Noah and I, we talked about that back before the election, and we had our little sound bite of kicking the can down the road. And I said even then that they were going to just kick the can down the road farther and farther. And really, we might as well buckle our seats, because we are going to go over the so-called fiscal cliff. I believe that with all of my heart. You know, you hear about that, and the sound or the talk of going over a cliff, you know, that's pretty daunting something to think about, to talk about. I mean, that's something that you could die from, is going over a cliff. But that's the way it's being explained. That's the way it's being put forward before the American people. We're going to go over this fiscal cliff. And I do believe we are going to go over this fiscal cliff. Congress is not going to do anything to stop it. The president is not going to do anything to stop it. And I'm going to tell you this morning, the reason why we're going to go over the fiscal cliff is because of who it is that is actually going to go over the cliff. When they're talking about going over the fiscal cliff, they are not talking about the government going over the fiscal cliff. Nothing in government is going to stop. Nothing in government is going to close down, shut down. Nobody in government is going to lose their job, have a decrease in pay, or anything like that. So the going over the cliff is not going to be stopped, because it does not affect the government except to give the government more revenue. The people who are actually going to go over the cliff is the taxpayer, you and me, the average person. And what's going to happen January 1st when we go over this fiscal cliff? I don't even believe anything major is going to take place, but the result of it is going to be that next year and the year after and year after, unless they go back and change it. But the only result of this going over the cliff, the fiscal cliff, is that next year more of your money is going to go to the government instead of to the people who actually earned it. It's going to take more and more for the average person to live and to pay their bills and put gas in their car and groceries in their home. It's going to cost more, and you're going to have less. What money you made this year, next year, you're just going to be giving it to the government, because taxes are going to go up. Now, something that's very interesting to me, and thinking about what we have here in Luke chapter number 2, the raising of taxes and the coming of Christ, all in the same passage of Scripture there. It's very interesting to me that this has been talked about for years and years and years. This battle has been being waged. You know, there's one side. They say, we need to raise taxes. That's the only option that we have. We're going to raise taxes. Well, you have the other side. course, I'm talking about the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats want to raise taxes. The Republicans, though, on the other side, they have that. This is part of their platform. This is part of what they stand for, and they have actually run on. They have actually made pledges. Grover Norquist, I'm not going to get all into that and about him, but he's this gentleman. He has spent many years going about to Republicans and getting them to sign a pledge that no matter what happens, they will not raise taxes. And if you know anything about him, he's in the past, he's had a lot of power. He's had a lot of pull among the congressmen and up there in Washington and among the politicians. But one side said, we're going to raise taxes. The other side said, no, we're not going to raise taxes no matter what. But there's all this talk about it, and has been all this talk about it. Even Mr. Obama in his first term talked about raising taxes, but never actually, it was never done. They extended, some of you may remember this or know about it, but they have extended what they call the Bush-era tax cuts. So they talk about raising taxes, but they have not actually been able to raise taxes. But now that is going to expire, and everybody, I've been reading in the news, listening to different people that keep up with such things, everybody fully expects that this time around taxes will finally be raised. And so Mr. Obama is getting ready to become what he's promised to be all along, and that is a raiser of taxes. Now, what in the world does all that have to do with the coming of Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to try to answer that in the few minutes we have remaining. Now, I said at the beginning that when Jesus came the first time, there was the raising of taxes. And I believe when Jesus comes the second time, there's going to be throughout the world a movement of raising of taxes. And I believe we can see that and prove that from the Word of God. We look at all this, and it's interesting, and it ought to remind us that we need to be more concerned about our spiritual condition than we do the physical condition, because I believe with all of my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment. He could come very, very soon. But Daniel chapter number 11, I want to point out just a thing or two there in Daniel chapter 11. Now, some of you know this, some of you might not, but the book of Daniel is a prophetic book in the Bible. It deals with the last days. And in Daniel chapter 11, it describes and talks about the coming of the Antichrist. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know anything about the prophecies in the Bible, the Bible prophesies that there will come a world leader. He will gather the nations of the world, most of them, under his wing. He'll have great influence. He'll have great power. There will be a one world government, a one world leader. There will be a one world religion, on and on and on. We could go talking about what the Bible says about the Antichrist. But the Antichrist, the Bible describes part of his ministry or life influence in Daniel chapter number 11. Not only does it describe the coming of the Antichrist, but it describes what will happen before the coming of the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11 and verse number 21. This is talking about the coming of the Antichrist. And it says in verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, that's the Antichrist, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And so we see this beginning of the coming, the rise of the Antichrist. But have you ever noticed that in verse number 21 it says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person? Now, what that is telling us is that the Antichrist will actually take the place of another world leader. It says, in his estate. He's going to come in the place of another person. And so if you go back to verse number 20, you find out who the other person, this is the person before. the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11, verse 20. This is very interesting and goes right along with what I've been talking about this morning. Daniel chapter 11, verse 20. It says, "Then shall stand up in his estate," and it's talking about different people that will come along in the last days. One will succeed another, one will succeed another. And it says, "Then shall stand up in his estate." This is the person before the Antichrist. "Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom." This person before the Antichrist, the man who's a great leader before the coming of the Antichrist, is going to be known as a raiser of taxes. Now, it goes on down, talks about him. "Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle." This person that is a world leader before the coming of the Antichrist, he's going to be a raiser of taxes. The Bible says he is going to be destroyed. He's going to die. He's going to perish. It's not going to happen in anger nor in battle. Now, how this leader will die, the Bible does not say, or how he will be destroyed, it does not say, but it does say he will be destroyed, and it describes him as a raiser of taxes. Now, I'm not saying that Mr. Obama is that particular person, but if you know anything about the different governments of the world and all the trouble that they're in, there are so many nations in the world that are in trouble financially, economically, and there is much talk in the world about the raising of taxes. We are entering a time period in the condition of the world where there is even a talk, there's much talk about a world tax. The United Nations has talked about a world tax. The subject has been brought up about a carbon tax. The subject has been brought up at the United Nations about a tax on every financial transaction in order to help the poor and needy in the world. There is, if you just do a little bit of study, you can Google world tax, and you're going to find all different kinds of things and conversations that have been put forth about a tax on the whole world. And so these things are very, very interesting to me, that the Bible does teach a connection between the coming of Christ and the raising of taxes. They were raising taxes when Jesus came the first time, and they'll be raising taxes when Jesus comes the second time. Daniel chapter number 11. Now, here's the thing. There's nothing we can do about the taxes. I read an article yesterday that was very interesting by Cal Thomas, and he brought out, he said it's time for a tax revolt, and he brought out he said this nation was born in a tax revolt, and he made a great case for it, but I'll tell you, there's not enough unity in our nation to tie a pair of shoes. This is not the America of 1774 and 75 and 76. Our nation is so divided, I just don't believe we're going to see anything done except more and more. The Bible talks about there will be in the last days perplexity of nations. And that means that the leaders of the nations, they just won't know what to do. They won't have an answer to the problem. So there's nothing we can do about the taxes, but we can do something about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's to be prepared and to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. Well, Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.